we're talking about the resonance of the empire in the modern world. And it hasn't been forgotten in Iran. It's never been forgotten in Iran. But its true significance has been forgotten in the West. We have forgotten that actually there are deeper roots to Roman and Greek and Western civilization. We're talking about the resonance of the empire in the modern world.
Small, kuchek,
smaller,
kuchektar,
smallest,
kuchektarin.
Six birds to Persia.
And welcome back to another show in the series Six Pillars to Persia. This is the first live show of the week for Resonance FM. You're listening to Resonance 104.4. And this week we have an interview at the exhibition space, the Xerxes Fine Arts off Haymarket. And at the moment they've just opened with an exhibition of photographs by Jamshid Behrami looking at Hajj, which is the pilgrimage that all Muslims should take at least once in their lifetime. So please tell us who you are and what you're doing at the Xerxes Gallery.
My name is Ali Bagherzadeh and I'm just here with you showing you an exhibition of Jamshid Behrami. Xerxes Gallery is, Xerxes Fine Arts I should say, is a fine arts business with several exhibition spaces, one in London, one in Shanghai, which is a partnership with a friend and partner of mine, Pearl Lam of Contrasts Gallery, and generally we are focusing on certain types of art, in this case, contemporary Iranian art. It's a new exhibition space. It's not a new fine arts business. I mean, it's been one which has not had a public exhibition space for some time. And also, in terms of my involvement with the general arts, it's not a new thing. The arts, on a commercial level and a non-commercial level, has been with me for some time, for many, I would say more than two decades. So in essence, it's a new exhibition space, maybe a new face to what we're doing. And we are the first and currently the only fine arts business of note which focuses mainly on Iranian contemporary art.
This spot in St. James Street off Haymarket was going to be a permanent spot where we can...
This is a permanent space, yes. This is not, as I said, we're a fine arts business. We've been around for a while. And we don't do temporary exhibitions. This is a permanent space, and the exhibitions come and go depending on our schedule.
Okay. So we look forward to seeing what's going to happen in the future.
And I just would also like to say that we're a primary dealer. Therefore, we deal only in artists with whom we have representations. And we generally don't deal in art in general, so to speak. So we're a primary dealership in terms of having artists whom we represent and nurture and support, and whom hopefully represent and nurture us in another way, reciprocally.
Well, I'm amazed by these pictures. They're wonderful compositions. But apart from the, you know, the beauty of the pictures, what attracted you to Jamshid Behrami to start with, to launch your new exhibition space?
Jamshid Behrami is an exceptional person and an exceptional artist, I think. He started his professional career quite young. He's born in 1961, and as a very young man, he started covering the Iran-Iraq War as a photojournalist. And I think it didn't take much time for the wire services to actually realize what great talent he had in photography. He did join Reuters, Agence France-Presse, Guardian, Times, The New York Times, Newsweek, in various capacities, mainly as a photojournalist, and finally The Economist. What you see is photography used as a medium in contemporary art, and Jamshid now focuses mostly on his art. He is a person of exceptional talent, as you said, for detail, for aesthetics, for just capturing anything visual, I think. He's an artist who has chosen to, for now, to focus on social issues. And I think that must have a nexus with his background and his personal life. And in these series, as you can see, the topic is religion in general, and religion being very much a social aspect, especially in Iran, and for all of us Iranians, no matter what religion we have or into what religion we were born. Jamshid has chosen Islam, his own religion, as one of the central tenets of the social issues I just mentioned. And he's chosen the Hajj as one of his first visual topics, I should say.
That's the yearly trip to Mecca.
The yearly trip to Mecca, prescribed during a particular time, and of course one of the necessary conditions to becoming a Muslim. I mean, every Muslim during his or her lifetime must make a pilgrimage to Mecca, must perform the Hajj. And capturing the visual manifestation of religion, of faith, capturing the visual manifestation of the rituals of religion, faith, is what Jamshid has done, and I think has succeeded exceptionally. The aesthetics of the pictures you see are exceptional. Whether that look, that picture, which is called "Look Away," which is conceptual in a way when you look at it, whether the picture behind you, "Ahram," of just one woman very gracefully putting on her veil, or the picture of the five hands touching the cloth of the Holy Kaaba, what Jamshid has tried to show is, first and foremost, all the various nationalities and people and ages and backgrounds and ethnicities and classes which do make the holy pilgrimage, yet do so in harmony and in unity and in uniform devotion in their submission to faith, to God, and to Islam. Also, and I think even more importantly, he's shown to all of us so well that this submission to faith, this deep belief in faith, and this Hajj is being undertaken with calm, with grace, with dignity, and with beauty. And at times, I think, especially recently, following the media or the news or just popular culture, those are not adjectives we necessarily associate with Islam or Hajj in particular. And I think it's most special to see this side of Hajj, the true side of Hajj, its beauty. Even those two images, the one titled Humanity, which is to your right, and the one titled Millions of Faith, to your left, which depict hundreds and hundreds of thousands of worshippers and pilgrims moving towards a common destination, that movement, even with all its chaotic patterns, seems to be in some kind of an order, seems to be undertaken with calm, dignity, and some beauty of sorts. And I think that is the most special message and the most special attribute of Jamshid's works.
What kind of interest have you had in these pieces? I mean, where would you imagine them going to? You said you're selling 5 prints per piece.
Jamshid's work, the medium is photography on canvas, and the sizes are 115 centimeters by 170 or 170 by 115. So therefore, they're large sizes, and photography on canvas does have a very particular feel, aesthetically pleasing feel to it. Each image is an edition of five plus one artist's proof. Jamshid has chosen for the time being to hold on to the artist's proof and to the first edition, which leaves four editions to be sold. So those basically four editions of each image are being sold, and they have sold very, very fast. We first showed Jamshid's in March at Art Dubai, when we exhibited there with our partner Contrast Gallery. And it was the first time that these images of Jamshid's works were being publicly displayed. And they actually sold out before the opening. Mm-hmm. In our pre-opening dinners and hospitality events, they all did sold out what we had taken to Dubai. And the commercially, it's been very, very successful. Critically, I'm happy to say it's been even more successful. There's a lot of public interest in it. I think, first and foremost, the aesthetic beauty. Second, the whole mystique of the Hajj. And third, I think the political importance associated with that region of the world.
Also, it's quite topical. I mean, the idea of examining Islam, trying to understand Islam, would be something that would appeal to a lot of people. So to have a piece of art somewhere, I can't imagine where they would have it, say, in the forum of their offices or perhaps in their large stately home, somebody would be raising a debate. It's a meditation, isn't it, on a subject that we're often thinking about?
I think you're absolutely correct, and I think it being a topical matter maybe is one of the reasons that we chose to, going back to one of your first questions, why we chose Jamshid Bairami. Of course, I am thankfully in a position to be able to exhibit artists and choose to work artists in whom I believe, in whose talent I believe, and whose aesthetics I like. But in this case, I think it was also very germane to our times, and as you said, very topical. And I think you're right, yes, absolutely.
Also, Jamshid's famous for his the photo of the student in the Iranian Revolution. Is it holding up a bloody T-shirt? So that in itself must have sold quite a few pictures. You know, they know that he's a great photographer. They know he's got a name, and that there's some acumen in buying his work. It might increase in price, as you said. Things have changed so much since the 70s with a piece of work, say, for a print of Warhol. So it would also be a good investment.
I think so. I think Jamshid's works, before these came out to the market and were reviewed so widely by the press, were known, especially because of some of his iconic images. For instance, the cover of The Economist some time ago, which he had taken, of the student movements in Iran. And Jamshid does have, at least recently, auction history of having done very, very well in some of the main contemporary art auctions outside of the Persian Gulf, I might say, which does raise the bar somewhat. When an artist relatively unknown to the Occident does so well in a main London auction, I think that's a huge boost of confidence, which was given to Jamshid. Therefore, I think the question of his prices being maintained or increasing should be answered in the positive, even though I think all of us as purists try not to focus on the pecuniary gains of buying art, and we don't think of it in those terms, but maybe in other artistic terms. But yes, I think his prices will go up significantly. And they have, actually.
So what would one print be selling for, roughly?
Each work, the price of the works depend on the particular image. Therefore, we have several price bands, and we have 42 images, 42 images in the series, and those 42 are divided between several price bands, which range from 10 to 17,000 pounds sterling.
So in order to get these photographs, when Jamshid went to the Hajj, did he have to get permission? Because he's obviously looking down a lot, so he must have gone to a position of some prominence to get these shots.
Historically and theologically, and theologically I don't mean as in by the words of His Holiness, but I mean throughout history as a theological continuum, the depiction of the human form in Islam has been somewhat controversial, if not outright banned. And as you notice, he's been very, very respectful to that. You see no faces in these images. But partially because of that, the Saudi government does have very stringent regulations in taking pictures of the Hajj. That, in addition to the fact that disrespecting this most august and holy of our traditions is something that the Saudi government takes very seriously and justifiably so. Therefore, there are stringent rules and regulations and very onerous procedures to obtaining a license to take pictures. Jamshid's used maybe a different route, a more inventive route to take these pictures, which was to use other means of taking pictures than just outright taking his camera, waving a permit, and then taking a picture. I think he's tried to hide himself so that none of his subjects would know he's taking a picture. Once again, he's done that with the utmost respect. He sometimes has perched himself on certain ledges, on certain rooftops, on certain elevation points to take these pictures, and you see that from the angle of the photographs. At other times, he has used some other ingenious methods, such as being pushed around in a wheelchair and maybe by stealth taking the picture while the camera is hidden someplace in the folds of his ahram in the wheelchair. But I really must emphasize that, that there has never been any disrespect done, nor has there ever been any disrespect intended. And the whole purpose behind this wonderful exercise has been to give a wondrous image to a wondrous ritual.
There's definitely a journalistic aspect about this, because when you're talking about the respect that he had for the Hajj, you can see in the photos that there's no real judgment. We're allowed to contemplate it as we see fit, you know, and he's focused on maybe hands touching the cloth, a woman praying, you can't see anything but her silhouette, you know. And then at other times he's focused on a huge amount of people, and it's simply a meditation on the orderliness to start with. And then you can see African prints in there, so you know people have come from African countries as well as Middle Eastern countries. And so there is that journalistic aspect coming through in his work, that it's quite impartial. Is that the kind of artist that you favour, or do you sometimes go for something a bit more bold?
No, I think each artist, like every person, has his or her own charm, his or her own talent, his or her own particular relevance. In this case, yes, this is Jamshid's a huge gift to be able to portray what you just described. At the same time, I think it's wonderful being very provocative. I think there's nothing wrong with being judgmental or provocative or sometimes even controversial. I think one of the central tenets of art is the fact that it should benefit from absolute freedom of expression. And now, that doesn't mean that it should not be necessarily treated as being horribly disrespectful or horribly insensitive. Yet, I think we should leave that to the audience and to the learned audience to condemn it and to make it sink into oblivion because of its own vices. Therefore, I don't make any judgments. I don't favor one over another because of any other subjective indices I may have. So the answer to your question is no. I don't favor one type of artist to another.
So what would you like to see happening with Xerxes in the future? Are you going to, because as you mentioned, you're not showing all his prints here in this gallery, so perhaps you'd like to go to one of the London art fairs or show in another gallery more extended?
No, we wouldn't. As I said, we're a primary dealership, and we hope that we're one of the prominent ones in this field at least. And the question of showing in another gallery to us would be anathema to our business model.
We would. What about the Frieze Art Fair or something?
Hopefully, in the future, it would be wonderful if we would join that august group of colleagues. For the time being, though, I think being in London, we're going to concentrate on having wonderful shows in London while Frieze is going on. However, we do art fairs. We will be in Art Dubai, actually Abu Dhabi in November, Art Paris in Abu Dhabi, Art Paris in Abu Dhabi, which runs from the 17th 19th to the 21st of November. And we have two presences there. We have our own stand there showing our own work. And we also have another stand there which is going to be devoted to one artist only. And we're going to be showcasing one of the artists exclusive to us there. Before that, in October, running from October 2nd to October 6th, we're going to be at Toronto in the Toronto International Art Fair. And we plan on being in Los Angeles in January, and in Dubai in March, and in New York in October again, and in Miami in December. So I think you will find us to be somewhat ubiquitous at the art fairs. It's just that London being our home turf, at this time I think we're not going to be in the London art fairs and just be in our gallery during that quite hectic time of freeze, as you put it.
Yes, I was thinking of it. You were saying they're a robust group, but then I was thinking it's nothing as orderly as the Hajj pictures. It's quite chaotic. We're there every year broadcasting from a booth, and I've seen it, yes.
It's true, but I'm sure there's some charm in that chaos also, no?
So how long is the Jamshid exhibition lasting for, and what have you got next?
Jamshid's exhibition goes through Saturday, July 19th. And our space is closed on Sundays and Mondays. And we're open on Saturdays, but not during July and August. But we will reopen or re-exhibit on Tuesday, July 22nd. And we're going to start with, actually our exhibition is going to be running until August 16. And it's going to be of a true master of Iranian photographic art, Saifullah Samadian, who probably is amongst the very handful of photographers in Iran and artists using photography as a medium who are considered masters in terms of experience and art. His photography is not on canvas, it's on it's digital print on photography paper, so it's more purely photographic, and he does his work in editions of five with no artist proof. And the series we're going to be showing, which has never been showed before, is what we have called The Days of Their Lives. And those lives we're talking about are the lives of the average and ordinary Iranian citizen. The way he or she relates to the everyday events central to our socio-political life. And once again, I think they're quite non-judgmental, as you said, and I think it's left to the audience, and hopefully the learned audience, in taking away a message. And I hope to see you back there so you can see what you can tell me what you think of that.
I think it's going to get to a stage where people say, who is the Iranian Damien Hirst? I don't know. Let's ask the Xerxes Gallery. And you're going to end up being the mouthpiece for Iranian art. So let me be the first. Who is the Iranian Damien Hirst?
Do you mean who's the Iranian person who makes dot paintings? Or do you mean who's the Iranian person who has great talent? Or do you think who's the Iranian artist who achieves the most at sales?
Good question, good question. Who's the top artist? Like, who's the one who has to just do a piece of work and everybody wants to know what it is and how much it's worth and where it's showing?
That's one of those questions that one is always damned for answering, because it's apt to make everyone angry. However, I think when it comes to Iranian contemporary art, one can draw a line between the ones we call masters, for the lack of a better term, and those we call young artists. And if we want to take an arbitrary line of age 50 and divide the populace, the artistic populace, between those who are above 50 and below 50, I think there's some exceptional artists in each camp. And the question of exceptional, I think, is generally settled during the times we live in. Maybe tastes and judgments do change with time, but you know, the question of what is beauty, what is good, is generally answered by responding that what is acceptable at that time in that particular society we live in then becomes the norm. And the indices currently used to gauge that would be the prices achieved. So I think, without making any artistic judgment, having said that all those artists, in my view, are exceptional and hugely talented, some might be making more in private sales and auctions than others. And you see amongst the masters, painters like Hossein Zenderoudi achieve very high prices. Sculptors like Tanavoli achieving very high prices. However, as congruent with any other kind of contemporary art or any kind of art in general, the high prices are achieved by the exceptional works of these exceptional pieces. So I think it would not be fair to say that any work would do very well. And amongst the younger generation, once again, nearly all of our young artists are inventive and talented and hopefully going in one high direction. And once again, the person who I think is achieving the high prices is Farhad Moshiri. And other ones are catching up, hopefully. So I think maybe those three would be the three names which would jump to mind.
If we take, for example, Farhad Moshiri, you must have been exposed to his work, obviously, on
yes.
your circuits. We haven't been exposed to him, you know, generally in the West. So he's well known for what exactly?
And I think the West is becoming increasingly aware of Farhad Moshiri. Just a few days ago, you had a work of Farhad Moshiri in a Sotheby's evening sale. And getting into a Sotheby's evening sale is no mean feat. And he did achieve a reasonably well price. I'm not sure if it was the price that most people thought he would achieve. I thought it was lower than that. But once again, that does depend on the particular appeal of that particular piece. And maybe if it was a different piece or a different work, it would have achieved higher. But I think Farhad Moshiri is known for his talent. I think he's known for his professionalism. I think he's known for the fact that, you know, using the monikers, which I don't like at all, but, you know, he's probably, you know, always compared to the Jeff Koons or to the Mike Kelly, using the kitsch imagery of everyday life and quotidian life and giving it an element of communication and visual expression. So in those artistic terms, I think you can compare him to those artists. But I think he's known for all the good reasons, for his talent, for his inventiveness, for his professionalism. And I think that the collector is actually now being exposed to him.
I can see it's going to be a burgeoning market, and I wish you all the success in the future. And if anyone's listening, they should definitely come down and see this gallery. This is really like looking into the eye of the storm here, because everyone wants to know, why is Islam so fervent? Why are people so prepared to shun common human law for the sake of this higher law that they've read about in the Quran? And so to have a look in the Hajj is really like to get to know something that you've always wanted to know about, perhaps frightened of. Would you agree?
I think so. I think that's why Jamshid has done this, to give the world a different face to our religion, and a face which probably is described more in the lines which you just did, a different one than one that is generally ascribed to it.
So there's a website people can find out your opening times on?
Yes, the website is www.xerxesfineart.com, and hopefully you will put it on your website, given the very long name and the difficulties in taking down the website. But it's xerxesfineart.com with an S at the end, .com, and all information is on it regarding upcoming art fairs, exhibitions, address, and opening times.
Thank you very much.
It was my pleasure, actually. Thank you.
So there you have it, the very interesting new gallery dedicated solely to Iranian art. So I do recommend you go down there. It's just off the Haymarket on a little street called St. James, and the website, of course, is xerxesfinearts.com. Next week, again at 1:30, we'll be on. We'll be looking at travel to Iran, talking to two travel agencies about the perils and pleasures of a holiday in Iran. We're going to leave you with a track by the 1001 Nights Orchestra. They're based in Texas, USA, and this is a track you may recognise. It's actually a known gypsy tune, but you may recognise it mostly for its use with the Black Eyed Peas.